The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Hello, Delaware Valley, and I'm your host, Brian Dougherty, and this is the Philly Business Spotlight Hour. And we have some great featured guests for you today. Our featured guests are Sean McCabe and Mike McRory. They've been principals of the ServPro Upper Bucks franchise since 2001. ServPro is a building damage restoration company that specializes in water, fire, mold removal, as well as interior and exterior storm damage and both residential and commercial buildings. Plus, they pride themselves on their ability to provide emergency service alongside other first responder professionals. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, so you know, we're sitting here before the show starts, right? We're always kind of like, perusing through what we think we should talk about and whatnot. And this is, I mean, you guys, there's definitely some interesting detail that anybody who would see your website, you know, you get a good general idea, but man, there's so much detail that could fall into any of those different general things that you address that we definitely got to get into that. But before we do, though, what I'd like to do, and I always do with all our featured guests, is try to get a little bit of information about what led you guys to this point. What was your evolution as a person to go into business for yourself? Because that's really the main focus of our show. Try to give people a perspective on what it's like to be your own business owner. But prior to that, like, what led each of you to want to go into business for yourself?
We wanted to clean up sewage.
That is
the ambition of ours.
Your dream, your whole life, right?
Absolutely.
You know, we hear that sometimes. It's like, you know, we have doctors and lawyers on. It's like, you know, I dream my whole life, right? being a. So I didn't put the phone on.
I did take care of that.
Right. So I'm assuming that isn't true.
That's not true. Yeah. Sean and I have been friends for over 30 years.
Okay.
And we came to know each other through my cousin, John, his best friend, my cousin. So really from that point on, there was four of us that had talked about owning our own businesses. It was John, Andre, me, and Sean. And we talked about what we would do, catering, restaurant. We were kind of all kind of, you know, thinking of the restaurant world. And then we all branched off and went and did what we did. So Sean's story was his roommate, the fourth guy, Andre, has a construction company, and he bought a ServPro because he was exposed to it through construction. And Sean ran that for a number of years. And around 2001, when I got laid off from a very lucrative IT industry job, I started hanging with him on the truck. We had a blast. So it really is that simple.
It's always an interesting story,
so
right?
So I bought one, and he then came to work for me, and he bought one, and then we merged them together and bought a third one, and we've just been at it for the last 18 years.
Wow.
Just two great friends having a ball doing what we do together.
A heck of a story. How long ago was it you were mulling over being in business for yourselves?
30 years ago.
Early 90s.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so you kind of knew, you at least knew that you wanted to work for yourself.
We skipped the college. All three of the four that Mike mentioned, we did not do the college route. So we had a frat house.
Wasn't that a frat?
Right.
It certainly was a frat house, and that's where all these kooky ideas got cooked up. But the one that stuck was the ServPro one, and Andre is still a great and dear friend of ours, and we do work together. And
he has a ServPro too?
He still has a ServPro. He has two. The one that Sean had managed, which was in White Marsh, Cheltenham, and then he picked up Doylestown around the time we picked up our franchises, and we all get along great, and we've branched out and made more friends in the ServPro world that we hang out with. So,
with ServPro, how do they divide up a region, or like how does that work?
It's a franchise system. McDonald's is the one that stands out to everybody. So it's similar to that in that you pick up a territory and that's yours. It doesn't mean you only work there, but it means you only market there, kind of thing. But By population for SERPRO, it's typically that 90 to 120,000 population center can be a franchise license. And so, in, just to give you an example, in Pennsylvania, there's 80 licenses, so 80 franchise territories within Pennsylvania, 1,800 throughout the country.
Uh-huh.
But by population is typically the way it goes. So around Philadelphia, you're going to have, you know, 17, 18 licenses. When you get out into central PA, not nearly as much.
Well, and how long has SERPRO been around?
67 was the start. Started as a painting and carpet cleaning company, more or less, and has grown into, you know, one of the biggest in the industry as far as what we do.
Where did it originate from? What area?
That's a good question. You know,
California. So the original owners, the Isaacsons, lived in California. They started the company in California. When it turned into a franchise system, they looked at the map and they said, "How do we service, you know, geographically this area?" So they moved to Gallatin, Tennessee. So they figured Gallatin, Tennessee would be a great
central enough.
Nashville being the hub, but Gallatin, Tennessee, and that was central enough that they could service everything that they needed to service from a franchisor perspective. So yeah, they've been there for as long as I've been around.
Well, 18 years. 67. Yeah. I was born in 67, so that's 51 years.
Same
ago.
Year. So 67 is when they started, and then they moved. And I should probably know that history a little bit better. But they're on their second building in the Gallatin area. It's gorgeous, gorgeous building that they can take care of us, and that's where all of our training takes place. It's a 3-week training session, classroom, hands on. Everything from financial to technical to theoretical, they take care of for you.
Are they in all 50 states?
They're in all 50 states, and they are in Canada as well now. We are in Canada, yes.
Wow.
So we opened up franchises a few years ago in Canada, and they're great guys.
Wow. I'm telling you, wow, that's some history there.
Yeah.
So what you just hit on, they kind of do training down there, and you talked about financial, the whole deal. Just like, let's talk a little bit about like that as far as being in business for yourself. Are you guys an LLC? Are you an S Corp? How do you guys set up like that?
We're an S. We set ourselves up as an S Corp. My brother happens to be a lawyer, so you know we sought him out for advice, and S Corp was the way to go. Pass through so that, you know, we don't pay the taxes personally. The business pays the taxes, and then we pay our own individual taxes.
And when it comes to you know, the financial structure of the business, like and the administration part of it, are one of you guys more responsible than the other for that, or how do you go about that?
We really share all the responsibilities, you know, throughout the business, and we definitely have our things that maybe we like more. I like production more. Mike likes office more. Financial, we really do share. We came in this, you know, equally, so to speak, and we treat ourselves very equal in terms of the investment we make in time and energy and money and what we take, you know, from the business. So I think the thing for people to consider if they're considering business ownership is, you know, the first thing is, do you want to have your own startup or do you want to go into a franchise type of business? And there's certainly advantages to both. For us, we knew SERPRO because I had been in it for 5 years. And again, when you buy a franchise, you would expect to have the advantages of a business that's already up and running. So you're tapping into a system, and there's a lot of support with that. You pay your ongoing fees. So, you know, it is something that continues. You always have that to lean back on. But there's plenty of independents that do what we do too. So that, I think, in terms of somebody making a decision on how to go about it and the financial structure and all of that, it's really the first decision is independency versus, you know, buying a franchise system.
Well, on that note, so when you're this, you know, I've always been curious about this, never really been part of a franchise. In this type of situation, like how much of, you know, everybody thinks about, you know, like you said, McDonald's, like, so they kind of like, you know, everything is kind of like provided. But I've wondered, like, is the whole back end, is there a software package that's used for when you're doing your financials? Is there, how much of it is a system, you know, that you're buying into?
There's a system to everything that we do. So we go down to Tennessee, you have the training, and it takes you through financial, executive, marketing, production, office, software package. Yes, there's common software for our industry that the industry, insurance industry knows, and we all speak the same language, but there's still that autonomy to go out and make some of your own decisions. So, you know, we're hiring our own accountant, but we use QuickBooks. Most of our pros you talk to are probably using QuickBooks and their own accountant. Everybody has their own attorney. But we run into the same issues, same challenges, and everything's set up the same way. The difficulty in us following a pattern or following a formula, like McDonald's can execute that same cheeseburger, whether you go to one here or one in California. We have different people providing these services, and although we train them the same, you know, one guy here might do something completely different, you know, right. On another job site, right. Two doors away from each other.
Right.
So we're always looking to perfect that, but it's much more hard. It's much more difficult in a service industry than it is with food because of the formula.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. So you mentioned QuickBooks, and I use QuickBooks. I kind of wonder what small business doesn't really use QuickBooks. I mean, these days. And so when it comes to that, accounts structured and that, is that something that you have complete autonomy to just develop books the way you want to develop it based on recommendation from your own accountant, or do they?
That's the beauty of a franchise system. Our chart of accounts is given to us by ServPro Corporate. And it's because we pay royalties, we have to document a particular way so that their people see the same thing 1,800 times, right? From the 1,800 different franchises. So that you can stray from that, and all it's going to wind up doing is complicating your life. It's so great that you can just download the chart of accounts, and everything that you do, there's a line item for it.
Well, I have to tell you, that is.
You just plug it in. Yeah, because there's nothing worse than, and in the early years, it wasn't quite that way. So, you know, the accountant's going, I don't understand what you're doing with this. Well, Mary put it in this way. Yeah, but Mary's not doing it anymore. Sally's doing it.
Right.
And she decided to create another place because she didn't find that one.
Right.
So now it's great. Now it's everybody knows it's all the same chart of accounts, and you have the same line items, and that's where you make your register entries and you move on. So
wow, I have to say that.
I'm not simplifying. QuickBooks is still, Kristen in our office works every day, all day. It's not. The work isn't simple, but
right.
The process has been simplified that she's not creating. She doesn't get something new and go, oh, I don't know where
it's
that
templated.
Goes. Yes. She knows exactly
that in of itself, because I've spent so many years, even as I've developed learning QuickBooks, merging accounts and stuff like that. I even had a merging account before, you know what I mean? But so I'd have accounts, some stuff, same exact type of things under, you know, slightly different name, account here and there. And that's doing it with one person.
Right.
It can still happen that
way. Interesting. To go back, I had wanted to comment when we were talking about, you know, the deciding whether you're going to have a partnership or you're going to do it on your own. Sean and I made a decision really early on, and I'm sure you have the situation we were talking earlier. You have your brothers involved with you and your business. Everything's 50-50. So there is... after 18 years and 30 years of friendship, there's complete trust there, but it's a 50-50 partnership to the nth degree. It can't be anything different. He can't take more time off than me. I can't take more money than him. I can't take more advantage of opportunities that come to us through the ServPro. And once you start with that, now life just rolls. But interestingly, he has never logged into QuickBooks.
And I won't.
He doesn't know it. He doesn't want to know it. And again, that's so,
sounds like my brother.
So that's just, you know, we went down the road of QuickBooks, and that's why he looked to me, because I know QuickBooks. I have to know QuickBooks because he won't know QuickBooks.
Right.
And that's fine with me.
It's, right.
We don't
Same
need
with me.
10 hands in the QuickBooks.
So Mike also wanted to plug Kristen, so we're going to try to avoid giving her a raise.
Kristen Carroll from Percocet.
Yeah.
Well, in all honesty, you know, anybody, and it turns out like last week, or the week before last couple of weeks, I had a couple of accountants on who own their own firms, and one of them was a QuickBooks specialist, you know, certified. And I have to tell you, like, the things that to get around, because I've tried to use YouTube and all that stuff, and it can only take you so far. You really need to understand this stuff. It's pretty deep.
Absolutely. And not delving too deep down this rabbit hole of QuickBooks and accounting, because that's the boring side of the business. It's where the money's at. But we have a great accountant, and she is QuickBooks certified. Their firm is. So anytime Kristen has a problem or a question, she just calls them. So we have that, you know, that's having a good accountant, a good lawyer. You know, you need
absolutely
that
they
to
talk
be in
about
business.
The twin duo, right? So you know, talking about that, so you kind of laid that out, and one of you takes more responsibility for handling the book side of things, or at least overseeing them.
Yes.
Is that what it is?
Yep.
When it comes, so I always like to ask people this, you know, so before you got into business for yourself, you know, what was, when you did finally do it, what was the biggest surprise that came along for you being in business for yourself? Was it like, are there certain taxes that I didn't realize we had to pay, or whatever?
Young and dumb, so we kind of rolled. I think for me, I'll let Sean answer for him, the first time that we hired somebody who had a family, that I knew that I was responsible for a paycheck for an employee. It wasn't just a bunch of kids now working for us. It was a grown man with children and a wife and a mortgage.
Right.
And I had to make sure that we made payroll every week.
Right.
So that was a real sobering. It scared the heck out of me, to be honest with you.
Right.
I didn't want to hire them for that specific reason. We've never not paid our employees. We've never missed a payroll cycle in 18 years, even though we've had a skip to make that happen.
Right.
But just the reality of it became really clear at that moment that, you know, we're entering into strange territory, because at the time I didn't have a family and Sean had just started his family.
Right, right.
Yeah, my answer's similar in that that's where I was going to go, you know, that it, the reality of it, the reality check of this is yours and there's, you can't run away from it when it gets bad. It's great when it's good. I mean, that's easy.
Yeah, right.
But you really get tested when it's bad. And, you know, there's the fetal position is, you know, sometimes, you know, where you are when you have payroll on Friday and it's Tuesday and you don't know where it's coming from. That happens. I mean, that's just the reality of it.
You know, I mentioned to you guys earlier, my brother and I were in five different nightclubs and two restaurants in 15 years downtown. And I know you said, God bless us. And
yeah.
I totally get that. Right. I remember, you know, obviously, you know, I'm 31, 32 years old, first getting involved in that. So it was a big party. It was having fun for, you know, three, four years. And then one morning I woke up and I'm like, I guess I do this for a living now, right? It's like you get to a point where things get tough and whatnot, and you would love to be able to tuck tail and run and go get a job or something. Like, you got all these responsibilities, and there's no getting out.
No, you're invested, and your employees can quit. A person who works for somebody else can leave when the going gets tough. They can leave for a better opportunity. Sean and I have to make our better opportunities. It's ours, and we are financially invested in this thing to the point that we can't walk away from it.
Yeah, and it also gets to be where your time, your life. You've got this many years. Like, where do you go at this point? You have to expand this thing. You have to make this all it can be. That's a good point. I mean, it's sobering. That's that side of it, the real side of it. But the other side is, you know, all the advantages you have, you know, as a person being in control of their own life versus an employee who pretty much has to be dependent on whatever someone else tells them, and they control their time and their life every second of every day of every year.
Yeah, this is not for everybody.
Yeah.
And mentioning Mike's cousin early in conversation, you know, he's a corporate guy and he loves it. And him and I talk all the time, and he's like, there's no way I could take on that responsibility of business owner. He has a great job and great career, great family, great everything. But this is not for him.
That's what I'm saying. So it really is. And it's so funny. And we were talking about this last week with the guest that was on. It's so funny to be sitting across from, you know, an employee who is you know, literally the complete opposite when it comes to these types of things is you, right? What they want out of life, what you want out of life, in terms of just being, you know, your own person and your own, and control of your own life, they're more at ease when it's the other way around.
Right.
You know,
and my father owned his own business. He owned a flower shop in King of Prussia for 31, 32 years. And in retirement, he then went and worked in a flower department for a supermarket. And he came home one day and he said, well, I didn't live at home anymore, but we were talking one day and he said, I should have done that 20 years ago.
Really?
He's like, it just the pressure. Completely different. It's somebody else's responsibility when I leave. It's not mine. So he had that perspective. I happened to work in the corporate world for so long that I can't go back.
Right.
I love this. I love what we do for a living. I love helping people. I love the outreach that we're doing now. And I love that I can take my kids to school in the morning if that's what I choose
that's
to do.
That's what I mean. Well, that's great stuff. So, folks, we're going to take a few minutes off for time from our sponsor, and I'm going to say that we're powered by First Alliance Home Mortgage, a heck of a mortgage specialist. Call Jason at 267-289-1095 or email him at jikemiller@fahmloans.com. We'll be back in a minute.
My friends, this is Joe Krause. You've heard me on Philadelphia radio now for over 20 years, and you know I don't often endorse products or people unless they are real game changers. I want to tell you about Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located in Center City, Philadelphia. And at the end of this short personal endorsement, I want you to consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you are recovering from an injury, if you or a family member has been diagnosed with a disorder that has stopped you in your tracks, or if you're like me, determined to learn about wellness while getting yourself prepared to stay healthy so you can enjoy the blessings of your family. Remember the name of this warm and caring location, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today. Are you concerned your money won't last as long as you do? If so, you're not alone. In fact, more senior citizens fear running out of money than they do dying. But what can you do? The good news is there may be hope. Millions of seniors just like you have taken advantage of a special program called the HECM. It's only for seniors who are Social Security age and have equity in their homes. The HECM helps folks use a portion of their home's equity to fuel their retirement without any payment obligations besides your property taxes and homeowners insurance. The money just has to be paid back when you sell your home or both you and your spouse dies, and the kids get the rest. Now, the HECM isn't a magic pill and probably won't put you in the lap of luxury, but it just might be the difference you need to thrive in retirement. For more information and to see if you qualify, contact the HECM hotline at 267-289-1095. First Alliance Home Mortgage makes HECM loans, NMLS 5034, licensed by the Pennsylvania Department of Banking, Equal Housing Lender.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed... could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
They just told us right away that we're gonna house you, we're gonna feed you, and every single one of his medical bills is just all taken care of.
They've saved my family from financial ruin. It allowed me and my wife both to focus on the most important thing, which was the health and well-being of our son.
We have phenomenal research, outstanding clinical care, and the generosity of public, which allow us to treat patients regardless of what it takes. And that's what makes St. Jude so magical.
At St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, families never receive a bill for treatment, travel, housing, or food, because the only thing a family should worry about is helping their child live.
Doctors send us the toughest cases to be treated at St. Jude, and our patients come from all over the world.
When we come here, they told me, don't worry, everything's been taken care of.
We could never repay St. Jude for what they've given us.
Because of you.
Gracias a ti.
Because of you.
There is St. Jude.
All right, folks. Well, we are back, and this is Brian Dougherty, your host of the Philly Business Spotlight Hour here on WWDB 860 AM. And every week we do a segment called Ask the Expert. And this we're having someone backed by popular demand. It's a gentleman by the name of Charles Tiano. He's the director of client relations for a company called Forever Forest, located in Ball Ground, Georgia. Oh, we just got the notice that some type of complication here. We don't have Charles on at the moment. So I guess we're going to continue our conversation, guys.
More Serpro, this is great.
Well, more Serpro. I'm sorry about that. I thought that I thought we had Charles on the line. Okay, so anyway, so let's jump back into Serpro. Now we're going to talk a little bit. And I was just glancing over what we talked about earlier as far as what you guys actually do. Right. And I think that I think we really need to I wonder if we can even get all this in. Actually, I looking at this and I was saying just for the little conversation we had, because there's a great overview of what you do on your website. But I really think there's a lot to be talked about for people to understand the specifics of it, because obviously there's what you guys do covers a lot of ground. Right?
It does, sure does. Yeah.
You know, and I think that more people would really do well to understand, you know, more of the intricacies related to that, so they know whether to call you or not as it relates to things that happen. So just generally, just starting from the top, because it seems like, you know, water damage and fire damage seems to be like your bread and butter. So let's talk about that. How does that work as an overview?
Yeah, I'll kick over to Mike here in a second, but the one thing we tell people all the time, and it just seems to resonate, is if you're in a building and you're looking at something and you're like, who would do this? It's time to call us. There's a chance we do it. Or if we don't, we have, you know, an industry partner that does. So, you know, people ask what we do. And like you said, there's a huge list, and you can branch off of every topic and find things. So Mike's going to explain that, but I just really like to start with that, you know, again, if you were in a building, there's a problem, call us and we could probably at least get you headed in the right direction.
You're talking about, but let's talk about like the details as it relates. Because if I think about, and one thing I guess I had, until you cleared it up earlier, I was a little confused about was, I mean, I understand water damage, right? Obviously, you know, I own a couple of apartments and I've dealt with that. Obviously, you know, I live on, so I catch it right then and there. But, you know, someone has the normal, like the toilet overflows, except for, you know, at one point in time, you know, I had a whole ceiling drop from a teeny weeny leak that I didn't know about. And just a little, thank goodness, my daughter, who was young at the time, it would have killed her.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So at that point in time, it's like, boom, okay, I'm going to call ServPro, right? You're going to come in, and what are you going to do?
I'm going to make it like it never even happened.
So you come
you
in.
So I worked the tagline in.
So that could include... like if it had to build a wall, if it had to, you know, what all can that include?
Well, we'll come in and we'll assess the situation. We'll find out what happened, what the cause was, have you fixed it, and then we will start cleaning it up. So your ceiling falls, we'll clean that up. We will extract the carpet if we can. If we can't, we'll remove it. And then we'll either, some Surf Pros do the construction in-house and some Surf Pros sub it out. But we'll get you, and some insurance companies, as we discussed, have their own contacts that they like to use. But we get you ready for, we get you dry, we get you clean, we get you ready for putback.
I see. And so if someone had no idea what to do and no reference, would you be able to refer people to do certain things?
Absolutely. Yeah. All the mitigation, which is getting it cleaned up and getting it ready for things to be put back together, you know, we'll do hands on our guys. When it gets to the put back reconstruction, it's called different things. You know, we might bring in somebody to do the drywall or spackle, do the finish, do the paint. So again, some offices have guys that are skilled in-house and we can take on some of that. Might have a carpet installer on staff. If not, we'll, you know, refer in. But yeah, either way, we're going to get you cleaned up and then referred to get you back to whole. And some situations are really simple. It's a one room in a house and you can kind of just, you know, do your thing in that, and the people are living in the house. There's fires where people have to move out and they're out of the house for a year while things are being put back together.
Could you guys actually be involved with that during the whole year?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Wow. Many cases we have to, if nothing else, even if we're not putting the house back together ourselves, we're handling their personal belongings. So with their insurance, they'll have a content policy which covers their personal belongings. And if they're salvageable, we'll pick those up, move them into our facility, clean them, store them, and return them a year down the road when they're needed back. So yeah, we're involved in the process.
You actually gather their personal belongings.
We're a moving company when that happens, with all the challenges of a moving company as well.
Wow. And actually line item each thing to see if it can be restored or not.
Yeah, there's that list of salvage and non-salvage. So, you know, that insured will have their policy, which will cover us cleaning and storing and all that. But then if they have things that are not able to be salvaged, they'll deal with their insurance company directly on that.
Now, are you saying that the insurance company will approve or disapprove any particular, all the different items?
Yeah, we work through that. A lot of our work is insurance related. It's not all. We deal, you know, with building decision makers all the time that may shield us from the insurance company, or maybe they not using an insurance policy for a situation. But if the insurance company is involved, we're on the phone with them day one, figuring out what's approved, what's not, how we're going to navigate the loss, how big of a loss it is. All those details are, the communication that we have within our industry is critical, and it starts as soon as the phone rings.
You know, you just kind of, something popped up into my head thinking about this. Servpro being, a franchise. So any of these types of particular tasks or what have you, do they already have this, like a pricing built into all these types of potential tasks?
Absolutely. The insurance industry kind of dictates that as well. There's an independent company software, Xactimate, and everyone uses Xactimate. That's how it's done, is things get put into Xactimate, and depending on the size, traditional square footage estimates get done through Xactimate. We also, Servpro has a proprietary time and material software. That's for large projects that if you tried to bill it square foot, it would be astronomical. It just makes sense to charge for your time and the materials you used on the job. But as a general rule, everyone uses Xactimate, including adjusters, insurance adjusters.
Okay, so Xactimate is a software that basically gives pricing as it relates to different items and tasks. And
yep, by square foot or by the hour. So if you remove carpet, it's wet carpet, square foot, and a price. And then you put in how many square feet of it you removed.
And that pricing is regionalized too. So if we picked up and went down to New Orleans for Hurricane Katrina as an example, which we did, and Sandy in Jersey, you can tap into that local area for the pricing that's appropriate for that area.
You just download that price list and boom, you're up and running.
Right, because imagine if it's in New York,
it's different
versus or you know, Philly or LA.
Right.
You know. Wow. Okay. Yeah. So that I can definitely see why a franchise would be advantageous for that circumstance. Because otherwise, you know, how would you do that?
Right.
You know what I mean? Other independents out there, kind of, are they, I guess, are they using that software?
At this point, they're all tuned into the same stuff that we are, yeah.
But there's still people trying to throw a number up and just, you know, hopefully it makes sense and the adjuster writes a check. That still happens. We don't do that, but
right.
It's certainly, you know, there's people that are not as dialed into the language of the industry and the estimating platform of the industry, and they'll come up with some creativity.
What happens when there's an independent adjuster involved in something? Do they use that software too?
And absolutely. Yeah. To clarify, there's inside adjusters, there's outside adjusters that work for the insurance company. Independent adjusters are companies that are set up. They work for multiple insurance companies representing their interests a lot of times during storm events or in coverage areas, that lack of coverage areas. So like Erie has a very strong presence in our area, but in some other areas, maybe they don't, and they would just kick it to an independent to handle it. And the operation works the same way. Then there's public adjusters.
Public adjusters.
That's where I thought you were. Yeah, so public adjusters work for the client themselves. So they are licensed differently in different states, but they're licensed in Pennsylvania to represent the interests of the insured. So in that particular case, we're working through that person if we're working with that client. We keep in touch with that person and the insurance company to mitigate a loss.
I see. Because I can imagine, I mean, with such standardization with the costs and prices involved in this type of thing, I guess a public adjuster in that is really just trying to make sure that that person gets a fair shake.
Yes. And again, if you're dealing with a good, reputable restoration company, we can do that process as well, because we're working with the insurance company. We're the experts on the mitigation, and our best interest is served by taking care of our customer. So, public adjusters, there are times we have seen situations where the insurance company might not have been as aware of some things that occurred on a loss, and the public adjuster brings that to light to make sure that their client gets taken care of. The one thing that we can't control is your coverage. I don't know until I talk to the insurance company what kind of coverage you have. And some of the hardest things that we've had occur are customers who have 2 feet of water in their basement because of a sump pump failure, and they don't have sump pump coverage.
Mm.
So some of those we've had to walk away from. Some of those we do try very hard to change our pricing to facilitate, to help a customer out, in a time of need. But we can't get you coverage where there isn't coverage.
Right. And so I guess that's a lot of times, but the public adjusters seem to study the coverage a little more, right?
Exactly. Yes, right. They can delve into the policy. They're policy experts.
Yeah, in that case, that makes sense. So, but like going down the line, like mold remediation, we were talking about that before. I mean, that these days, I mean, you see whole buildings get, shut down over this, right? And what really surprised me on your website was how prominent really mold is, and you were talking about how it's everywhere, and really it's just conditions that, like, maybe moisture in the air or actual moisture that comes in that makes the big difference. But I mean, how involved do you guys get with mold remediation, and how big a deal have you seen it to be?
We do a lot. It's really, years ago in this industry, it was water and fire, and mold is right there with the two of them now. So I can't tell you the year that happened, but there was definitely a transition where mold, hit the radar and became very much a current issue that we continue to deal with. I think the most important thing for people to realize if they have a problem in their building is there's a ton of science behind what we do, whether it's water, fire, or mold. And there's a lot of training and things that we do behind the scenes.
Say that, because with mold, they always talk about this, like, what? So someone comes in, they say, I have some black mold here. What all do you have to test, to what length, to find out how bad the mold problem is?
It depends on there's a cost for that testing. We do not do that because we have a third party come in and test, because we we feel it could be a conflict for us to have our own test results.
I see.
So we do not handle that part of it. But once it's identified, I mean, some cases are clear. You walk in, it's clearly obvious, and we can tell the decision maker, this is what we suggest. If you want scientific proof of what's here and what's going to be left when we're done, then you need to hire an industrial hygienist, and we can either refer them or you can find your own. So there is science to it. The hygienist would come in and evaluate it, and they're going to tell you, here's what's outside, here's what's inside. If inside's a lot worse than outside, you have a problem, and now you need to hire a mitigation company.
Is it common with that, that what you see is what you get, or is it underneath a lot? And
it could be behind walls. You could be in a place where you can clearly detect odor, and you know it's that mold type of situation. You can smell it, but there's nothing visible. And there's a good chance that's behind walls and wall cavities. So now you have to do some, you know, investigative work or do the testing to figure that out.
Primarily from like old leaks? I mean,
could be, yeah. It had to be some type of water intrusion happened. So whether that's a leak or it's, you know, in a basement where water's getting in, you know, behind a wall and you just don't see it.
Humidity.
That's
level.
What I was going to say. Humidity.
We'll start to deal with schools in the next couple of weeks. That as they come back in and start opening them back up, they're going to notice that because they closed the school, it didn't get ventilation, but it did get humidity, and that causes mold. So
wow.
Mold starts showing up on surfaces, and then we come in and put it under negative pressure and clean it.
Yeah, but I mean, you're cleaning that. I mean, if it's mainly you're talking about it's on the interior. It's not or the exterior part of a wall, not the interior. What do you have to do? Can you get to the interior? Or do you got to break walls down?
Got to cut it out.
Really?
Yeah. If there's mold on the outside of the wall, there's a good chance that there's more mold on the inside of the wall. Not in every case. Sometimes if it was a, you know, water damage that happened a couple of days ago and the humidity level remained high and there's some surface mold, that can be treated. But we just did a water loss in a basement, and the problem had been going on for a while before it finally came through. So although we saw surface mold, we knew we needed to open up the wall. And we opened up the wall. It was quite populated behind the wall. So then we had to treat that.
Wow. Okay. And then so talking about another thing that really surprised me, and I don't think people, I don't know, but you could be hired to clean.
Sure.
Right? I mean, so, and like what kind of, I mean, at what length does that go? Like, you know, like.
We'll clean carpet. We'll clean windows. We'll clean upholstery. We'll power wash exterior of a building, you know, with some limitations. So we're not going to be power washing a high rise. There's companies that do that and specialize in that. But if you're talking, we did a shopping center, you know, not too long ago where we had just had to power wash the entire exterior.
So we're talking deep cleaning. We're not talking like coming in and cleaning the bathroom and.
Yeah, not like a maid type of service or cleaning,
right.
But definitely, yeah, detail cleaning is what
furniture
we
though, you guys will clean, like yep. Clean up all. Like
clean upholstery. A lot of times we'll get, the previous owner was a smoker. The previous owner had animals, the previous tenant had animals and so they want us to come in and remove that source odor, and we do that.
Right. You know, it's funny. A long time ago, I had a tenant who had a cat, and they just weren't cleaning the litter enough, but I wasn't sure. I have hardwood floors. I wasn't sure if they hadn't cleaned the litter enough and the cat was peeing on the darn hardwood. And for a minute there, I mean, because the odor was so pungent, I was scared. I thought, so I told him, you got to get rid of that litter. And if this is in the floors, I mean, that could have to replace your floors, right? I mean,
absolutely. Yeah. There's when animal urine gets in things, a lot of times the only solution is to remove where the animal urine got into the wall, the parts, you know, part of the wall or the trim or the hardwood. Carpet is usually the big one.
People have pet monkeys, but they're the worst. They pee everywhere.
Right.
You didn't know that before this, did you?
No. Well, I mean, it's interesting because I did see their odor being one of the issues. And I could imagine you get into a situation where, like, I know this sounds a little crazy, but, you know, you go into some places, like a old folks home or something like that, a lot of times, and you know, you can tell that there's a certain similar odor that's there, and God knows why, you know, and that. But if you get into a situation where now that building is being repurposed or something like that, I mean, where do you look? I mean, what could is it the carpet? Is it, even if it's, because you guys do commercial, right, you know, as well. So you go into a commercial place where there's probably, you know, maybe some commercial carpet inside, but probably a lot of tile and a lot of wood and whatnot. And where do you look?
Everywhere. I mean, you just have to. We have different types of equipment that we can use for monitoring. So we have invasive equipment, non-invasive equipment. We do a lot of thermal imaging, so that we can look to see if there's a water penetration somewhere behind a wall that the naked eye can't see, and then you just kind of
use your nose too.
Yeah, you use your nose. We use our senses, and you focus on the area of the highest concentration, and then you formulate a plan from there.
Wow. So in some instances, like, it could be ceiling tile?
Yeah, could be.
You might have to replace it? Yeah. It might have to, right?
That's right. Yeah.
You can't clean it, right?
Ceiling tile's not easy because of the porous nature of it. It's very difficult to clean.
You could have a dead animal, like, up in a ceiling tile, you know, like, in that suspended
bird
area.
Bird or something,
right,
like
exactly.
That.
There's so many things that can happen. This is not related to odor, but one thing we see every year. We do at least one a year, it seems like, where a deer runs through a window into a home, and then they can't get out, and they're bleeding from crashing through the window. Every year we get one, at least one.
Wow.
And there's that deer is running through the house bleeding, and imagine the mess they create.
That's the bio-recovery piece that we were talking about.
Yeah, I was getting into that next.
That becomes a bio-scene cleanup. That's not a routine cleanup. That's not a easy cleanup. It's handled. There's a very specific way that we need to handle that.
I mean, these are tough conversations. You know, some of the things you were talking about, I mean, you do have situations where, you know, people pass away for whatever reason, and they're sitting inside a place for a long period of time. And you guys, they would call you for that?
Yeah, there's training for that. And we take the training and we get the certifications, and then we follow the industry protocols for it. And a lot of it is based on OSHA. A lot of it's based on ABRA. ABRA is the association, the American Biorecovery Association, which we're members of, and they provide us with the guidelines for the cleanup of that. So, yeah, we do it.
Well, on that note,
not everyone in the industry has the stomach for it. Not every guy that works for you can do it.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to do it. But the ones that do it, it's, you know. It's,
and where do they go skill. In? Like full suit?
Absolutely.
Like the whole deal? Like,
absolutely.
You know.
Head to toe.
With head to toe, right?
Head to toe and double, triple protection.
On that note, I guess let's jump in. Let's talk about the first responder situation, because I guess that kind of goes along with that, right? So tell me more about your thoughts on you guys being involved with the first responders and whatnot.
It was about 3 years ago. So like Mike said, we've been since 2001, we've been, you know, in the Serpro world and dealing with these situations. And we've always been community-oriented, community-minded, but about 3 years ago, we just realized, you know what, we're not doing enough, quite honestly, and what can we do, what should we do, and it was real obvious to us that the first thing was to support first responders, specifically firefighters, and obvious, there's an obvious connection there, right? You know, we clean up fires, so being friendly with fire personnel and police and coroners and things like that makes sense in our world, but we wanted to do it through support, not... You know, that's just the way we saw it to do it. So the first thing we did is we started donating cases of bottled water to firehouses, getting to know them a little bit, meeting up with the fire chief, whatever the case was, just to let them know, one, we do appreciate them, what they do. I mean, the scenes that they go into, you know, it's amazing the work they do.
Sean, just want to take a minute to acknowledge our sponsor here. We're powered by First Alliance Home Mortgage, a heck of a mortgage specialist. Call Jason at 267-289-1095 or email him at eikemiller@fahmloans.com. Also, like us on Philly Business Spotlight, our show on our Facebook page, or follow us on Twitter at PBS, PBSH Radio. We're going to take a minute and go to our sponsor.
My friends, this is Joe Krause. You've heard me on Philadelphia Radio Now for over 20 years, and you know I don't often endorse products or people unless they are real game changers. I want to tell you about Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located in Center City, Philadelphia. And at the end of this short personal endorsement, I want you to consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you are recovering from an injury, if you or a family member has been diagnosed with a disorder that has stopped you in your tracks, or if you're like me, determined to learn about wellness while getting yourself prepared to stay healthy so you can enjoy the blessings of your family. Remember the name of this warm and caring location, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today. Are you concerned your money won't last as long as you do? If so, you're not alone. In fact, more senior citizens fear running out of money than they do dying. But what can you do? The good news is there may be hope. Millions of seniors just like you have taken advantage of a special program called the HECM. It's only for seniors who are Social Security age and have equity in their homes. The HECM helps folks use a portion of their home's equity to fuel their retirement without any payment obligations besides your property taxes and homeowner's insurance. The money just has to be paid back when you sell your home or both you and your spouse dies, and the kids get the rest. Now, the HECM isn't a magic pill and probably won't put you in the lap of luxury, but it just might be the difference you need to thrive in retirement. For more information and to see if you qualify, contact the HECM hotline at 267-289-1095. First Alliance Home Mortgage makes HECM loans, NMLS 5034, licensed by the Pennsylvania Department of Banking, Equal Housing Lender.
All right, we are back, and this is Brian Doherty, your host of the Philly Business Spotlight Hour, and I am here having a tremendous conversation with Sean McCabe and Mike McRory from ServPro, the Upper Bucks franchise, right?
I'm going to get ripped for the McCabe, by the way. It's McCabe.
McCabe, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. I'll just have to hear about it from everybody.
About that. I'm Irish, too. I should have known that.
I'm
right?
Only going to call you McCabe from now on.
Right, but so we were just talking about the first responders and how they got involved. Let's finish. I'm going to hear that. And then I'd like these guys were just talking about how they were involved with Sandy and Katrina and what it was like, that experience. And let's talk about that stuff.
Sure. So as far as, again, the first responders, going back to that, it really was just we need to do more. And what do we do? And the cool thing was once we started doing it, we really enjoy it. So Mike and I are always out, you know, at community events, you know, supporting things. But we found that through the support, we were actively involved. Like, we're not just writing a check for a sponsorship. We're volunteering with an event or whatever the case is. We sponsored the Quakertown Concert Series. We just had a great sponsorship of the Wawa Welcome America Festival, which was really geared towards first responders. So we had two air-conditioned tents for anybody that might have been in trouble from being out in that heat for, you know, an extended period of time and things like that. So
pretty cool.
We're really enjoying that outreach program because it's not just, you know, we're actively involved in it, and we do a lot of education. So Mike and I are constantly in the classroom, Mike much more than me, learning about that world too, so that we can speak the same language and offer the right support. And it's a blast. We're having fun.
Well, that being said, we were talking about, and I was saying, I mean, I can certainly see how you guys could be one of them first calls along with them guys. I mean, because your service, obviously, time's of the essence, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, and it doesn't hurt to, you know, it's kind of cool to go up to a building and be familiar with, you know, the local authorities that are there. And obviously, hopefully, you know somebody in the building from that's how you got the call, whatever the case is. So seeing that whole thing come together at a scene, which is not a great scene to be at, but since we're there, let's, you know, make it as comfortable as we can and get to work. So, yeah, wow. It's been great.
And so you guys said you were at Sandy?
Yeah, we did. Sandy was our first road trip ever. So we did load up and drove down there. I actually flew, but, you know, most of us drove down. But yeah, we were down there, and we were down there for 7 weeks. I did three. We had a crew totally down there for for a total of 7 weeks. But there were offices that were down there for a year.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, some of that stuff's still not done, right. I'm told.
Right.
Right? I mean,
yep.
What was it like to come in there at that time and see that place?
Katrina was definitely, we've done a lot of road work and a lot of trips. And Katrina was the worst in terms of there was no resources there. So you go to New Orleans to help people and you can't get a hotel room within 2 hours of the place. Maybe 2 hours, maybe more like four. So, you know, there's people staying in hotels with that were wet because they had damage, but it was a place where they could, you know, hang, they could sleep.
Right.
We had 40 people in a warehouse, you know, 40 guys living in a warehouse with one bathroom, because there was just nowhere to go.
How soon after were you down there?
We were down there right away. We're usually in.
So, I mean, I saw a video of bodies.
Right.
You know, going down the street in the water. I mean,
absolutely.
Did you see this stuff?
Or? We did not. Well, the only thing we, by the time we got there, I'm going to say it was, you know, within days. Katrina was much different. That's the worst case scenario.
Right.
You know, you saw the markings on the building, so you knew that they had already been looked at and determined if there was someone inside. That was all recovered. That was taken care of. But I think with Katrina, the main thing that stood out to me was the resources. They're just, you couldn't find food. You couldn't find lodging.
Oh my goodness.
Just the basics. They weren't there.
So how did you prepare go down for that?
We took a 20-foot trailer loaded with necessities, and I mean bottled water and food and paper products and that sort of thing.
Toilet paper, everything. Yeah, we brought everything with us down there.
Wow. And enough for 7 weeks? Is that what you went down for, 7 weeks?
Yeah, we really loaded up, so we were ready. Because we didn't know. You go down blind. You have no idea how long you're going to
That's incredible.
Stick with it.
I mean, I'll tell you. Well, I can certainly see, I mean, also talking about, I mean, just building services. I know that if a tree falls, hits your house, you guys handle that too?
Call us.
Yep.
Okay, so pretty much anything that, you know, happens, you guys could either deal with or you can help people deal with.
Yeah, we can navigate through any scenario in a building, whatever that means. And it means a lot. There's a lot of different things that happen, things you can't even begin to think about.
Well, I can imagine. I mean, you know, I'm a little surprised. I guess it's because the segment fell out. We were able to cover a lot of that. I was a little worried. I really wanted to try to jump into the details and whatnot that you guys handle. I'm clearer now. So, but anyway, guys, it's been great having you on the show. And if someone wanted to get in touch with you, how would they do it?
There's to call Servpro specifically. If you reach out to 1-800-SERVPRO, you'll get connected to your local Servpro affiliate. If you need to reach out to Mike and I, we're at 215-536-7989. But again, 1-800-SERVPRO will put you in direct contact with your community owner.
Well, there you have it, folks. So I want to thank you guys so much. That's Sean McCabe and Mike McGrory.
Thank you.
Of Servpro Upper Bucks franchise. I'm Brian Dougherty from the Philly Business Spotlight Hour. And we are powered by First Alliance Home Mortgage, a heck of mortgage specialist. Call Jason at 267-289-1095 or email him at jikemiller@fahmloans.com. Like us on Facebook at Philly Business Spotlight Radio Show and follow us on Twitter at PBSH Radio. We will see you next week.